Cool. Hey, yeah, happy birthday, mate. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 4:16. I want to get straight into it today. Romans 4:16. I want to preach on faith and hope. Cool. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "Now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love." Right? I want to preach on faith and hope. Most people, like, the gifts of the Spirit won't remain, right? The healing won't remain because we won't need it in heaven. But who knows that faith, hope, and love will remain? So that's, you know, get your brain ticking on this, but you'll still need faith when you go to heaven one day. Faith, hope, and love remain. I just think that's interesting, isn't it? This is really important. I think we get to a point in our walk with the Lord, and most people can, I won't say most people, but a lot of us can, a lot of the church can get to a point where it's like we're not going to expect much from God because we don't want to be disappointed. Come on. And so there's a lot of people, like, and they get on in their walk with the Lord, and when they first came to Jesus, they were burning. And it's like you first come to God and you're full of faith and you're burning and your heart's burning for things. You want to go pray for every single person. You want to go tell people about Jesus. You want to serve really well at your workplace and steward what God's given you. And you're burning for the Lord. But then after a while, all of a sudden, discouragement can kick in. Disappointment can kick in. Things didn't work out the way you expected or the way you wanted. And all of a sudden, we expect less from God because we're like, I don't want to be disappointed, right? So can I just be really honest this morning? You got a friend and like they got a sickness or an issue, but you don't really want to pray for them because you don't want them to be disappointed if they don't get healed, right? So I've just gone straight for the jugular, straight away. But that's true. For a lot of Christians, that can be true because I believe that we need to learn to steward faith and hope in our lives. It's so important. It's so important. Faith and hope, you need to protect that in your life because the devil comes after it. And so I want to read, let's read through this, otherwise I'll get ahead of myself. Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. So this is using the example of Abraham, how he believed God for a promised child that God had promised him and made a covenant with him. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. That's us, amen. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God, so this is the God, this is the part, this is really important. This is what Abraham understood of God. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, right? Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. Did you get that? Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. That means that his hope was supernatural. We downgrade hope in our life. We downgrade the purpose of hope, of what it is, of why God has given it to us. Against all hope, Abraham believed the promise of God, and he believed that God was the one who could bring dead things to life and call things into being that which is not. Come on, this is our King, this is our Lord, this is God. Amen. And so he continues, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it has been said, so shall your offspring be. You know, Abraham, he knew that it wasn't just the promised son Isaac, but he knew that through his lineage would come the Messiah. Come on, he saw that by faith. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact, that his body was as good as dead. His body was as good as dead. He faced that fact. He said, God, I've got this promise from you, but I have to face the fact that this looks impossible. I have to face the fact that people around me are probably going to laugh at me for believing in this. I have to face the fact that what I'm going after, what you've promised me, actually in the natural looks pretty stupid. It looks silly. He's 100 years old, and imagine all his mates, all his friends, and he's like, oh yeah, God's going to give us a baby. All right. I mean, I'm full of faith, but I'd probably laugh if anyway. Oh gosh. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. I mean, it just gets better. It just gets better, doesn't it? So he faced the fact that his body was as good as gone, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Gosh. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Amen. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, but also for us. So he is an example for us. God is saying, here is a template of faith and hope for you. Here is a template for what faith and hope looks like. Come on. For us who believe in him who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. So you got Abraham, a promise from God, his situation, what's going on, and then you've got faith, and you've got hope, and you've got unbelief, and you've got not wavering, and then there's fear, and then there's worry, and then there's Abraham standing in the middle like an anchor, trusting in the Lord. Faith and hope is so important in our lives. We are a people of faith, and so I'm a big believer in learning to steward faith in your life, in protecting faith, and in protecting hope. I think hope is one of the most important attributes of the kingdom that God has given us. If you liken it to like a GPS, when I started driving, I didn't have an iPhone. I know it was really hard. And so everyone who's over 30 will sympathize with me that we had to use the old Malways, right? And we had the Malways. You had to get the Malways out. You had to try to memorize which road you were going to turn down, where you were going, and then you'd get stuck and you'd have to open up the Malways again, right? But now you just have Google Maps. You have a GPS, right? It's like all of a sudden type it into your iPhone and you're good. You're ready to go. And so if you think of this, faith sees the promise of God and says, I'm getting there, right? So imagine typing something into your GPS, you want to go wherever. Faith is, this is my destination. This is where I'm going. This is where God's called me. This is his promise on my life. This is what God wants to do. Come on, that's faith, right? But faith can be very rigid. Faith can be very, it's intentional, but it can be very one-lined. And it's like, I'm going there, but all of a sudden there's a traffic jam. Right? And if you don't have your GPS on right and you got the Malways, you get to your traffic jam and you're like, you freak out. Because you're like, now where do I go? What do I do? Right? Or you get there and then there's roadworks and then you get stuck and you're trying to get to your destination, but all of a sudden you're stuck. Right? This is the importance of hope. See, where faith is rigid, hope is flexible. And all of a sudden, hope is like your GPS where it goes to here, you get stuck and hope reroutes you. Why? Because hope believes in the goodness of God. And hope literally means a joyful and confident expectation based on the goodness of God. So where faith won't take you, hope will take you. Come on. So you get somewhere, you're looking at something, you see that promised land in faith, and you get, I feel God on this. And you get stuck, all of a sudden hope will reroute you and say, God, yeah, I thought it was going to go this way, but the Lord works together all things for good. And so hope says, well, it didn't work this way, but I'm going to go around and I'm going to go that way. We need to be a hope people. Come on. We need to be a people of hope where faith said it was going to happen like this and it didn't happen the way I expected it to happen, but hope drives around. Hope reroutes. It doesn't, I might get to this point and I might get stuck here, but hope will go the other way. Oh, I'm rerouting. Come on. I'm rerouting. I'm getting to my destination because I have a joyful and confident expectation in the goodness of God, and God's going to make it happen. Come on. Can you feel that in the room? And so this is preaching the impossible, but I don't want to preach long because I just heard the Lord say that he wants to minister to people today. He wants to minister hope to people because there's hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a joyful heart is good medicine. Come on. And so there's people where the devils come after your hope. And you actually, the Lord, I'm going to invite people up at the end because the Lord wants to minister hope to people today and set people free from a spirit of despair. Because the opposite of hope is despair. But the Bible says in Isaiah 61 verse 3 that he gives us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And you can also translate that heaviness. And so a lot of people in our lives, we are tired in our bodies. But the tiredness in our bodies is not a physical problem. Now, I'm not downgrading, sometimes it can be. But sometimes it's not a physical problem, it's a spiritual problem. It's called spiritual heaviness that the devil has placed on you in life, and you've lost your burning for the Lord because of spiritual heaviness. And you need to get back to hope. Come on. We need to get back to hope. This is what the Lord is building you into, to be a person of great hope, because hope is flexible. Hope says, I've prayed that prayer, it didn't happen, but it's okay, I'll pray it tomorrow and it will happen. Hope gets to, you prayed for your friend once and they weren't healed, you prayed for them a second time and they weren't healed, and faith would be like, well, I have to do it again because I have to be obedient, right? And we feel obliged to do it. And faith is like, well, I better pray for them that third time. But we go into it and we're like, oh, they didn't get healed one or two times. I don't want to get disappointed. Hope says, hey, I'm going to pray for you the third time because you're getting healed, because God's good. Oh, you didn't get healed that third time. It's okay. Hope says, I'm going to go tomorrow and pray and they'll get, come on. Like, this is hope. Hope is so important in our lives, right? You're like, you're looking for, you know, marriage is awesome. And maybe you're single in the room and you want to get married. And it's like, oh God, I've got this promise. This is my destination. This is where you want to take me. But it's been 2 years and I've been praying them in and they're not coming. Ah. And see, what happens is our faith level begins to go like that. All of a sudden, hope comes in. All of a sudden, the Lord ministers hope into our life. And he says, it's okay, whether it's a year, whether it's 2 years, I'm going to teach you in this season. I'm going to prepare you in this season. Oh, it didn't happen in the third year. That's okay. This is a season for you. Don't miss your season waiting for the next one to come. Get the most out of the season you're in. Keep growing yourself. Keep preparing yourself. Keep believing in the promises of God. Come on, that is hope. That is hope. We need to build hope in our hearts. Oh. And so Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says faith is the substance for things hoped for. Did you get that? Faith is the substance for things that are hoped for, which means that hope is the foundation for faith to grow. Hope is the foundation for faith. A lot of people, we don't have a faith problem, we have a hope problem. And a lot of people, you're trying to get more faith and you're just thinking, if I just had more faith, or you feel like, oh, my faith is really struggling at the moment. It's not a faith problem. It's a hope problem. Because faith grows out of hope. And if you are full of hope, faith will be a natural byproduct of hope. And in hope, against all hope, Abraham then believed without wavering in his faith. But in hope, against all hope, Abraham believed. We downgrade hope, not realizing that hope is a supernatural antidote from the Lord against disappointment and discouragement in our lives. Come on. Well, I've prayed. Lord, I've prayed for this answer. You're not giving me the answer. God, I'm just seeking you in the morning. I'll get up the next day. God, I'm just seeking you. Oh, I'm just, oh, Lord, just speak to me. We can get like that. Faith was up here at the start. I had this amazing prophetic word that God's going to do this in my career. And faith is up here, but then 6 months later, oh, it hasn't happened. Faith, faith, faith. But guess what? Hope comes in. And hope says, it's been 6 months, but the Lord may speak to you tomorrow. Hope says, open your Bible tomorrow, because what if God speaks? Hope says, pray tonight, because what if the Holy Spirit comes and gives you an encounter in your bedroom? Come on. Hope says, God's going to work it together. Hope says that God's working behind the scenes and he's shifting things and moving things in the spirit and in the natural. And even if you don't see it, God's working it all together. He's getting it going for you, and you need to get prepared because it's coming your way. Come on. Come on. Hope doesn't waver in unbelief. Hope doesn't get stuck there. We waver. We get there and we're like, I'm wavering. I'm wavering. It's like you're going fishing and the first half hour you're really excited. And then you're like, no bites have come. Oh, geez. I'm wavering. It's been an hour. Oh, no. I'm wavering, right? I, of course, had to take it there. But hope doesn't waver. Hope is the antidote to wavering. And there's too many people. We're wavering. We're meditating on unbelief. We're meditating on worry and on fear. And you just need a good dose of Holy Ghost hope in your life. Come on. I remember talking to, I've actually had a few conversations around this thing where people will come to me and they'll say, like, I've been believing for this in my life. One person in particular, they were believing for a healing in their life. And they're like, it's just not happening, and I'm lacking faith, and nothing's working, and I'm trying this. And I'm like, oh, like, you don't, like, it's actually not a faith issue for you. You believe. Like, you believe that God can call things into being that which are not. You believe that he can raise things from the dead. You believe in the God who invades the impossible with his kingdom. Come on. You don't have it's not a faith thing, it's a hope thing. You've lost hope. And you need to come back to the God of all hope. You need to come back to the God who calls things into being that which are not. You need to come back to a joyful and confident expectation in your Savior. Because who knows that our hope is living. Our hope is alive. Come on. So Abraham, in hope, against all hope. Right? So there is a hope that is dead. There's a hope in the world, but it's not living. It's called optimism. Like, I love optimism. I believe in biblical optimism. Biblical optimism is really important in our lives. Come on. We need biblical optimism. I don't believe in pessimism. I think that's from the devil. You know, like believe for the best but plan for the worst. That's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom, right? And so we need biblical optimism, but there is a false hope in the world that says, well, just good luck, believe for the best, you do that. But no, our hope is living because we are connected to the King of Hope, and his name is Jesus, and he rose from the dead. Come on. Come on. It's alive. It's alive. Come on. And so we have a hope that is living in our hearts. He's called Christ in us, the hope of glory. Come on. So dwelling within you is the Christ who floods you with a joyful and confident expectation that you will see the promises of God come forth in your life and in your family. Come on. Is this hitting some people today? In Luke 5, Jesus, he comes to the disciples. So they're fishing out in the boat. They don't really know Jesus yet. And he's out on the boat. He says he's teaching the people on the shoreline. And they bring him out onto the boat because, you know, back then it was just a good natural amphitheater. You ever been? If you go skiing, be careful what you say when you're out in the water because everyone on the shoreline can hear you. Did you know that? There can be like someone like 500 meters out there and they're yelling. They're like, yeah, we can hear you. It's a natural amphitheater. And so Jesus comes out on the boat with Simon Peter. And he says, let down your nets for a catch, right? In hope against all hope. Because Simon Peter had been fishing all night. And any good fisherman knows if you've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything, don't waste your time anymore. Go home, get some breakfast and try again the other night. Right? And he says that to Jesus. He says, we've been fishing all night and nothing's happened. But who knows that when you get a word from the Lord, it should release hope in your life to have another crack, to go again. Because hope is a joyful and confident expectation that God will show up. And if he didn't show up the first time, it's going to happen the second time. And if it didn't happen the second time, it's going to happen the third time. Come on. We don't waver in unbelief. I want to call people higher today. Because we need to get higher. We need to think higher. We need to think hope-filled thoughts, hope-filled thinking. Come on. And so Peter says, well, at your word, I'll do it. And so he lets down the nets and there is a miracle catch of fish. Do you know that faith is like the net? I want to explain this. Faith is like a net. And if you imagine your faith, because it is the substance of things that are hoped for. So faith is a substance. Do you know in the spirit, your faith is a substance? Your faith is tangible in the spirit realm. That's what the Bible teaches. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. So if you imagine like this net, and the disciples, they would put the net, or the fishermen cast the net, right? So faith is like the net that you cast into the spirit realm, because who knows that we have all things in Christ in the spirit, right? So faith is what casts the net. And what happens when we cast the net and you fish, over time, the net gets weary, the net gets broken, and the net breaks down. So what the fishermen would have to do is they would have to do something called mending their nets, right? Because any good fisherman knows if there's holes in your nets, even if the fish are there, you ain't pulling them in. And that's what happens in our walk with the Lord a lot of the times, is that we're using faith, we're going by faith, we're living by faith, and you keep casting that net, but there are holes in your net. And your net is getting weary, and your net is breaking a little bit, because hope and faith need to work together. And so where faith is casting the net and you've got a big net, you've got big faith and you're trying to pull in that fish, but it's like there's no fish here. And then we get to the point where it's like there's no fish here. No, there's fish there. You just need to mend your nets. And hope is what mends the nets. Hope, when you add hope to faith, all of a sudden, hope will mend the net of faith, and any discouragement, disappointment, or unbelief that has come against your faith where you've kept casting it, hope comes in and mends that so you can catch the miracle catch of fish. Come on. Because God has a word for every single person in this room. He has a promise over your life, and you need to mend your nets to get the promise. You need to build your faith to get the promise, but the way we build our faith is that we live from the foundation of hope. Are we getting it today? Good. Come on. Our hope level in an area of our life reveals whether you are believing lies or truth. Our hope level determines whether we are believing lies or truth about that area of our life. So I can determine straight away what I'm believing if I have a healthy belief system or an unhealthy belief system by my hope level. And if my hope level, say it's for say your kids aren't walking with the Lord, and say your hope level's down here. Well, you're believing a lie. If you don't have hope for them, if you don't have epic hope, somewhere you are believing a lie, and you've got to go to that belief system. You've got to think about that situation. You need to invite the Lord in, and you need to say, God, minister truth and hope to me here because I have none. Come on. My hope level determines my influence level with people. Do you know Abraham, when they had the promised son Isaac, right? Isaac was birthed out of hope. And so there is a crescendo in the life of Isaac in Genesis 26 where he's living in a foreign land and there is a famine in this land. And every other person is going to Egypt because that's where all the resources were. So who knows that if you're a farmer and you've got a lot of seed and you want a crop and there's a drought and a famine, you don't plant those seeds in that drought and famine because nothing will grow. And so everyone was going to Egypt, but Isaac had a word from the Lord to sow seed in the land of famine. Isaac was birthed out of hope. Guess where he got his hope from? He got his hope from his father. He knew the stories of what his father told about God, and so he was full of hope. And so he plants his seed out of hope, and what does the Bible say? That Abraham reaped 100-fold in the land of famine. Where everyone else ran off to Egypt, Abraham had a word from the Lord that said, you stay put and you sow that seed in hope, and when you sow that seed, I will produce the harvest for you. Come on. Against all hope, Abraham believed. In Mark chapter 4, it tells a parable about the sower, the seed, and the soil. I'll finish on this. The sower, the seed, and the soil. And there is the sower who is God, and there is the seed that is his word. But it talks about four different types of soil, four different types of ground that the seed is sown upon. The first ground is a pathway. It's concrete or dirt, hard ground. Nothing, no seed is going to penetrate that and get into it. A hard, stony heart. The second one, it goes into a shallow soil, a shallow ground. And the seed grows, but the sun scorches it and the seed dies. The third one is a ground that is full of weeds, that is full of thorns and thistles. And so when the seed is planted by God, the seed comes in, and as the seed grows, it gets choked. And Jesus says, it is choked by the stress and the worries of the world. We do not waver in unbelief, but in hope, against all hope, we believe. Come on, because our God is a God who brings life to dead places, who redeems, who calls things into being, that which is not. Amen? The whole point of that parable that Jesus is teaching about is he's saying our job is to protect our heart. Our job is to look after the soil of our heart, because there is no problem with God and there is no problem with his word. That's what that parable teaches. The seed, there was no issue with the seed. It was the soil that the seed was growing in. And so I would put it to you that when the word of God is planted in a hope-filled heart, that that word can do nothing else but grow and produce a tree and produce fruit. Come on. Because it is a hope-filled, faith-filled, joy-filled, love-filled heart that the Lord is looking for. And the devil will come after your hope. The devil doesn't come after the word of God. He comes after your heart where the word grows. Because if he knows that if he can get weeds and thorns into your heart, then that will choke the word of the Lord in your life. That will choke the promise. So our job is to guard our heart from disappointment, from unbelief, from weariness, from tiredness, from frustration, from bitterness, and from anger. That's our job. And if we do that, the promise of the Lord is that that seed's going to grow, baby. Come on. That seed's going to produce a tree. That seed's going to produce fruit in your life. That seed is going to actually be something that is there. Who knows that trees last generations? So there's revelation that God has for people in the room that if you contend over and you protect your heart and let it grow, it's going to last a generation. And that sounds very biblical to me because you pass it on to your children's children. Come on. Amen. So God's ministering hope. God, He loves hope. Our hope level, you know, we need to look at our hearts and we just say, Lord, where I'm not burning, where I was burning for you maybe years ago, where there's people in the room and it was like I was going after this thing, but all of a sudden, years down the track, and I'm not burning for that anymore. You gave me a promise, but now I'm not burning for it anymore. It's because it's hope deferred. And so we just ask the Lord, we just say, God, come in and minister hope into my heart today. God, stir up the living hope that you've placed within me. God, cause me to burn with a joy and an expectation for what you're going to do in my life. Come on. So can we stand? Can we do that this morning? Our inheritance is to walk in hope and faith. That is our inheritance as children of God. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And so that inheritance, when you look at Isaiah 61, it is a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's a garment of praise, a garment of hope instead of hope deferred. That is our inheritance today. And so we're just going to ask God, we're just going to say, Lord, we open up our hearts to you this morning and come and minister hope into the areas where we've been hopeless. Father, you are the one who raises people from the dead. That is you. That is the example that we are given by Abraham, that you are the one who raises people from the dead. You bring life to what looked dead. You are the God who calls life out of dead places. You call things into being, that which is not. Things that look impossible. Prayers that we've been praying, God. Prayers, things that we've been asking you that we haven't seen yet. I pray, God, that you would minister hope into those areas. Father, where faith is rigid, hope is flexible. I thank you that hope says that you've been praying for this and it hasn't happened, but get ready because it's coming your way. God is rerouting you. Hope says it looked like you were going to go here and you got stuck, but it's okay because we trust in the goodness of God. Don't get disappointed. Don't get angry. Don't get frustrated because God is rerouting you. God's working all things together for good. Come on. And so, Lord, I pray that you release that upon our hearts today, God. I just, if this is okay with people, I just want you to take 30 seconds and just ask the Lord, just where there's areas of your life where hope has been deferred, where it's you're like, I don't want to go there, or a breakthrough is like too far gone for me there. I just want you to let the Lord minister to that area of your heart today, that area of your life. Let Him release hope into your heart. Don't often do this, but I felt to do this morning. I just want to open up the front, and I just felt like there's people in the room, and you just you want to do business with God in this area, and I just want to open up the front. I just want people to be bold and come to the front if this message was like this hit home for me, and I need hope. I need a renewal of hope. I want people just to come up the front, and I just believe that God's just going to minister hope to you. We're not necessarily going to pray for you. We might, but I just really believe that this message needs a response, because He is the God of all hope. He is the God of all hope. Jesus is our living hope. He's our living hope. And I sense in my heart the love of the Father for people, because there's people in the room and like you it's like you're hearing this, but you're literally saying to yourself, oh yeah, but it won't happen for me. You're literally saying to yourself, it won't happen for me. And can I just encourage you that there's no harm in getting a good dose of hope in your life. Like you're not gonna get hurt by God. You're not gonna get hurt by Him. He loves you. He's a good Father, and He wants to minister to you today. And He's teaching people. I'll just finish on this, that He's teaching us how to carry hope for a generation. Because our hope level determines our influence level. And I don't know, I've seen this. I don't know if you've ever seen a Christian who's given their life to Jesus, but then they're just not joyful and not full of hope. I've seen that. And to me, it's an oxymoron. To me, that just doesn't, it's like, no, you've just lost your connection to the one who gives all hope. And so, Father, I just pray that as we go into this week, God, that as we go into Christmas time, Father, that there will be a renewal of biblical optimism in our life. That there will be a renewal of hope in our hearts, Father, in every area of life. God, in our relationships, Father, in the way we handle finances, in the workplace, in our health, God, with parenting, with kids, Father, when we look at this region, Lord, may cause it to be a hope-filled, faith-filled lens upon our eyes, upon the eye of our heart, we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're just going to... Can we just, if you're not up here for prayer, could you just pray in the Spirit? We're just going to take a couple of minutes. It's not 12 yet, so we're good. And we're just going to take a couple of minutes and we're going to pray. And if there's people, could I just get like Han and Mom and just a few leaders just to come up and just lay hands on people. And I realize that there's deep need. So I want you to think about this, because in the room there is deep need. There's deep need in the room this morning. Like there could be people up here who are believing for a salvation of their family member. There could be people who are believing for a healing from a chronic disease or from cancer or something like that. There is deep need in the room. And so what I want from us just as a family is to, if you're not up here getting prayer, can you just pray in the Spirit just for a minute or two? Because we're just going to believe for the God of all hope to crash in for people this morning.
The Lord's just moving on people. We're not going to rush this.